welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. This is your host, Justine Ward, inviting you to listen to another hour of programming from the golden age of radio. This week we bring you a comic who later became Mr. Television. Milton Berle managed to make slapstick funny on the radio in The Milton Berle Show. He was known for spontaneous comic bits that had the radio audience laughing at the visual effect. It aired on NBC Radio from March 11, 1947, until April 13, 1948, and then Uncle Milty moved to television, where he became an institution. The first show I have chosen for your enjoyment is themed as a tribute to the American farmer. Here is The Milton Berle Show, first broadcast September 9, 1947, on NBC.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Johnny presents The Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny on the spot for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all...
Oh, for Philip Morris!
From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show, with Bert Tilton, Jack Albertson, Arnold Stang, Mary Shipp, Frank Milano, Al Kelly, Jackson Beck, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallagher. Ladies and gentlemen, this being the harvest season, our program tonight salutes the American farmer. This year, for the first time, the state of Iowa has lost its championship as the world's biggest producer of corn. And here is the new champion, Milton Berle.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, I was shocked. I really was. Literally shocked at your introduction calling me corny. Me, Milton Berle, corny. All words to describe me. Whimsical, yes. Sparkling, yes. Waggish, yes. But corny, yes. Oh, how right you are, Mr. Gallup. Believe me, I'm nothing.
Oh, come now, Berle. Don't start again with that nauseating self-pity.
Mr. Gallup, please, let's face it. All my life, I've been corny. I've always been a cornball. Do you know that when I was born, it took 3 storks to deliver me? 1 to carry me and 2 to beat off the crows. I mean, if there's no sense of laughing, my family was worried, too. For a long time, they didn't know if I would grow or pop. I was terribly corny. At bedtime, Mother would never undress me. She used to husk me. That's corny. But the story, Mr. Gallup, that is the story of my life. Warner Brothers wanted to make it into a musical. They were going to have Lassie play me. Now, don't laugh, of course. Lassie wouldn't really do the singing. They were going to dub in the voice of Thunderhead. But what's the use?
Oh, chin up, Berle. Stiff upper lip.
Stiff upper lip. What's going to keep the lower one from sagging? No, Mr. Gallup, there is no use trying to cheer me up.
Well, perhaps the story of my friend Tito Berini will inspire you.
Tito Berini?
A musician.
Yes?
His is the story of a man's fight against fate. Tito played the cello.
I see. And the odds were against him?
Tremendously. He was knock-kneed.
Knock-kneed? Well, how could he get the cello between his legs?
Two strong men would pry his knees apart.
Yes?
With the cello safely between his knees, Tito would nod. The men let go. And his knees snapped shut.
Snapped shut?
Yes. You could hear the splintering for miles.
Oh, gosh, such bravery. And here I am complaining.
Yes. Tito faced his problem squarely. Mm. And you, Berle, should do what he did.
What did he do?
He shot himself.
I should shoot myself? That's clever. But let's go on with the program. Maybe some of the audience will save me the trouble. Maybe somebody... You're awake, aren't you? the lights on. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, our salute to the American farmer. At this time of the year, in the midst of the harvest, the American farmer pauses for a few days of fun. The county fair. Let us join him in his rejoicing as we too make the rounds of the county fair. Come with me, dear listeners, as we... I may be right. Come with me, dear listeners, as we take a trip through the various farm exhibits. Ah, here's the livestock exhibit. And there is Mrs. And there... Beautiful livestock, too. There is Mrs. E.T. Nielsen, whose pig just won the grand prize. Let us go over and visit with her while she is feeding her pig. Mrs. Nielsen, you mind if we talk to you while you're feeding your pig?
Not at all.
My, my. Look at him eat. No wonder he won the ribbon.
Mighty big pig, ain't he? 400 pounds and he's still gaining.
Wonderful, Mrs. Nielsen. I wonder if we could speak to your husband, Mr. Nielsen.
Sure. Hey, Ed, someone wants to talk to you.
Tell him I don't talk while I'm eating.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. You were swill. Let us go on. But it is at the county fair where farmers are shown the latest scientific agricultural equipment. Here, we're just in time for the exhibit of a new milking machine.
And now, gentlemen, this is the new Milkmore jet-propelled milking machine. First, let me demonstrate the old style of milking by hand. Easy there, bossy.
No.
And notice how slow this is. And now let me attach the new Milkmore machine to the cow. And now we pull the switch.
Thank you. You can just call me Milk and Burl. Thank you. Ah, Mr. Gallup, in everybody's life, there are memories of happy days on a farm. And also golden memories of a little country sweetheart shyly walking by your side as you sang.
Down by the old mill stream, where I first met you. With your eyes so blue, kind of low, isn't it?
Ah, tender memories of Cynthia. I remember when I first met you, Cynthia, down by the old mill stream. I could tell at a glance that you'd been through the mill. Ah, Cynthia, you were my wholesome little farm girl with that cute little freckle. Too bad it covered your whole face. You were my delicate, fragile Cynthia. 260 pounds, but it was all solid bone and bustle. You were the only thing on the farm that the bull was afraid of. Cynthia, I remember our first rendezvous. You had a flower behind your ear, and I tried to pluck the flower, and you screamed. I didn't know it was growing there. In my heart, I have a picture of you, Cynthia, walking off to the barn carrying those two big pails. Then you drink up the beer and come staggering back. How they made you work on that farm, Cynthia. All day long, you were out plowing the fields, and when you came in at night, you were so tired. Sometimes you'd fall asleep before they could get your harness off. Before they could get your harness off. If this is going to be a staring contest, I'm not going to stand for it. Cynthia, we're not breaking this stuff in on you, you know. We've done this for years. Cynthia! Cynthia, it's the cute little things I remember about you, Cynthia. The way you used to stand out from all the others at the square dance. You were the biggest square at the dance, and you're embarrassed.
Your little embarrassed laugh that day at the horse show when the judges tried to count your teeth.
And then our wonderful rustic romance ended down by the old mill stream. You fell into the flour mill. And to this day, Cynthia, every time I open a loaf of bread, I look for you. Because
you were 16.
My village queen. Down by the old mill stream.
Now, please. Now, applause, please. If you liked it, just leave your name and address. I'll come to your house and do it for a small fee. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as a public service to the farmers whom we are honoring tonight, we have with us tonight, well, sort of a special occasion, Mr. J.J. Finster, one of the country's foremost agricultural experts, experts, who, that Lena the Hyena is writing this, I think. Agricultural experts who have... It'd be funny if this is an audition and I don't know it tonight. This gentleman, this agricultural man, has some vital farm information for all our rural listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, my pleasure to present to you this very, very great mind, Mr. J.J. Finster.
Thank you.
I have some questions sent in by farm listeners, Mr. Finster.
Go right ahead.
A truck farmer from Maine asks, how do you go about getting the money under the farm subsidy plan?
Farmers, here's what you do. Go to your nearest crime place where you go over to the door which says, money for boy states who have never been criminalized with a scale. Now, you must realize that the only way you do is to fill out a certain part of your trade, and when the money comes to you, ask for Miss Corbett, who will give you a definite trade. And try and get it. Next question...
Mr. Finster, an apple grower in Oregon writes, how can trees be protected against early frost?
Why, it's as simple as A.B. Spilling. Only last week, a farmer came into my office and said, Mr. Finster, I would like to plant some stye and sprinkle my crossbeds. He would like to plant some stye and sprinkle his crossbeds. Who wouldn't? I explained to him to strut a lot of twine, take a little bit of a trade, and the grass will seed without the thorn. And would you believe it? Today, that man is married to my sister.
Mr. Finster, have you a word in conclusion to the farmers?
Yes. Farmers, your government is behind everything you have strayed for all the time of your crown name. Don't wait until you are vandalized with a squib. Don't be a spellman. The seed of your grass has always been spoilment. But we know it's a phrase. Don't let them point at you and say, look... There goes a flame of light afar. I say to you, like in the words of Joe Samuel Blaze, who said, quote, the grace of time will never part with fate because he is still the coin. Unquote.
Thank you very much. Unquote. Farmers, just do as Mr. Finster says, and we can all look forward to a famine.
Well, right now, Burl, let's look forward to a little rural music. An old-time barn dance.
Rural music? Yes. A barn dance?
Uh-huh. And you are Zeke Burl. You and your Hoboken hotshots are playing on a Saturday night.
I see what you mean.
Yahoo! Let her rip! Swing your partner's two-seed dough, farming out just like a schmo.
Yahoo! Yahoo!
A swinger right and a swinger left, and gee, wait a minute, stop the dance. Stop the music. Gosh darn it, stop it.
What's wrong, Zeke? Where are you going?
Eh?
I said, where are you going?
Give me your earphone. Oh. I just remembered, Ezra, I got to put Johnny on the spot. Boys, vamp until I get back. Tell me, Johnny, by cracky, why is Philip Morris so gall darn better to smoke?
Here's your answer, Zeke.
Is he?
It's because the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get.
Right, Johnny. Philip Morris is the one leading cigarette with an exclusive difference in manufacture. the only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure.
You make a heap of sense there, stranger, but by cracky, doesn't every smoker know that? By cracky? Cracky, by cracky. I'm going to keep telling that till I get a laugh. By cracky, by.
No, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. For perfect smoking pleasure, try a pack of Philip Morris today.
Yes, sir, that was part of Turkey in the Straw. Sounded like the turkey, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. Ray, what you played of it was wonderful. You really have a great ear for music. I don't know what the other one's for. I guess it's for Petrillo. And now... That's a local joke. Local 802. As we continue... Made that up, too. Throw it out, too. And now, as we continue our salute tonight to the farmer as we present...
Farmers Forum tonight. Farmers Forum tonight. The question... Can Maxie Rosenblum's ears solve the cauliflower shortage?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. And now questions from the floor. First, this gentleman in the third row carving his initials in the man in front of him. You, young man, you have a question?
Yes. Mr. Burrell, for years I've heard nothing but stories about a traveling salesman and a farmer's daughter.
Yes?
Just once I'd like to see a traveling saleswoman.
Why?
I'm a farmer's son.
You! Next, this young man in the wet bathing suit and goose pimples. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Elsie.
Elsie?
Don't confuse me with Elsie the cow.
Oh, no, I won't.
I'm not a cow.
No.
Take a good look.
I know, but why do you call yourself Elsie?
Well, I took an animal's name rather than keep the name I had before.
I see. What was your name before?
Milton.
All right, Elsie, you have a question concerning farmers.
Why should I talk about the farmers? I got nothing against them.
Yeah,
you ought to be proud of the American farmer instead of tearing them down.
But that's not...
What, are you trying to start something against the farmers?
No, I just...
What's the matter? The farmer don't do nothing for you,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, they do, but I...
Who gives you the bread to stuff your big fat bread basket? The American farmer!
Now, wait a minute, I'm trying
who
to...
Who delivers the cheese every morning? The American farmer!
I know what you're...
When you're still sleeping, who's already hitching up his jackass? The American farmer! God, shut up, you big farmer!
Please, let's not be carried away by this man. Now, young man, if you have a question, let's have it.
Okay. Do you like me with my hair up?
Now, please, that's enough. Let's hear from the ladies now. You, madam, in the aisle folding diapers. What is your name, sir?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
Young lady, you are a homemaker, and you have a question?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband's latest hobby, raising chickens? He's sure smelling up the house.
Your husband raises chickens?
Yesterday, he accidentally sat down on a nest full of eggs.
He sat down on a nest full of eggs. He broke them?
He hatched them.
No kidding.
Ever since then, the rooster's been giving him the eye.
Oh, I see. Naturally.
He got his own theories. You know what he feeds them chickens?
What?
Herring.
He feeds the chickens herring? Why?
He wants the eggs shouldn't need any salt.
I understand.
You should see the way he cleans a chicken. It's amazing.
What's amazing about cleaning a chicken?
In the bathtub?
Wait a minute. He gives a chicken a bath in the tub?
So it shouldn't be a total loss. He takes one at the same time.
Mrs. Speedy, your husband gets in the bathtub with a chicken?
He washes himself first. What, do you think he's a slob or something?
Oh, well, that's different.
This morning I seen one of them chickens out in the yard pulling on a worm. It was disgusting.
Oh, what's disgusting about a chicken pulling a worm?
My husband was pulling from the other end.
Oh, thank you very much, Mrs. Peavy. Thank you. And now, Let us all pay a special tribute to the farm owners as we all join in and sing. I bought a farm, I shouldn't order. I shouldn't order, but still I bought it. I had a barn, a pump for water. It even included a farmer's daughter.
Ha, ha, ha. He, he.
His little old farm is in the red.
Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho.
He needs a farm like a hole in the head.
Ha, ha, ha.
And here, here, ladies and gentlemen, here's our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing.
I wish I didn't love you so. My love for you should have faded long ago. I wish I didn't need your kiss. Why must your kiss torture me as long as this? I might be smiling by now with some new tender friend. Smiling by now with my heart on the mend, but when I try, something in the heart says no. You're still there. I wish I didn't love you so. I might be smiling by now with some new tender friend. Smiling by now with my heart on the mend, but when I try, something in the heart says no. You're still there. I wish I didn't love you so.
Mind?
Not at all.
If you rather I didn't.
Oh, please do.
It's awfully decent of you.
Don't mention it.
I won't.
Thanks.
Thanks. That was fun. Let's try it again.
This time you take the harmony. But no kidding, Mr. Gallup. This experience that my family and I had all started one night last week. Junior, my wife, we were all in the living room, and I'll never forget.
Milton, it's midnight. Come to bed.
Okay. Junior, put down that Esquire. Time to go to bed.
You're kidding.
I said, Junior, go to bed.
Bed. All day I'm on that couch at the psychiatrist. All night I'm in bed. My back is nothing but calluses.
Well, if you stopped going around biting mailmen, we wouldn't have to send you to a psychiatrist.
If I can't find mailmen, what's there to live for?
You win.
Milton, it's late.
Okay. Turn out the light. What is it? Somebody at this hour. Come in.
Special delivery package from Milton Boyle. Sign here.
There. Just put it down on the floor. Thank you.
Okay.
Boy, that's a big box. I wonder what's in it.
Maybe Uncle Julia sent us another cheese.
No, Junior. Look at the air holes in the box.
Maybe it's Uncle Julia.
Quiet. I'll turn it over. Help! It's a wolf! Run for your life!
Milton.
get down off that chair. It's just a chicken.
Oh, a chicken?
Yeah, Pop. You know, those things you used to clean before you got in a radio.
Quiet.
Well, there's a note on the box, Milton. Why, it's from Phil Baker.
Phil Baker?
Yes, he sent us the chicken. It's from his chicken ranch in San Fernando Valley, California.
Darling, all the way from California. Say, what a break. We'll have free eggs every day.
Why don't you put it on your program, Pop? Make it a contest. Which one of you can lay them faster?
Always with the rise cracks. Regular Henny Youngman. Now, you be a good boy, Junior. Take the chicken out the backyard.
Okay.
Junior, not by the neck. Let go. Come on, let's go to bed. All right, come on. You know, I can't get over it. Just a simple little chicken and we get fresh eggs. Beat the high prices.
Milton, it's 3 a.m. Go to sleep.
Yes, dear. But it's wonderful. You know, Phil Baker sent us chickens like that. A little chicken. Yeah. What's that? Help! Run! It's another Pearl Harbor!
Quiet. It's just a chicken crowing.
Crowing? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're not supposed to crow until about 7. Oh, now I get it. The chicken's still on California time.
Milton, we have to do something.
Now, the chicken will gradually work its way back to the New York time. Good night, dear. What'd you say, dear? Oh, is it? Oh, good night, darling. Good night. Junior, are you sure you looked all over?
Yes, Pop, not an egg. The chicken's just sitting there on the nest.
She finally got on the nest. Good.
Yeah, now, don't get excited. She's just trying it for size.
3 days and not one egg. I wonder if it's because she's a rooster. No, it's a... Oh, come in.
Milton Burles?
Yes, I'm...
Shut up!
Yeah.
I'm from the City License Bureau. Where's your license to run a poultry market?
Poultry market? No, it's just a little chicken.
Shut up!
Yeah.
One chicken or 1,000. As long as it's got feathers, you gotta have a license. $15.
Oh, okay. Here's the money. We'll save it on the eggs alone.
Shut up!
Yeah.
I'll be back Wednesday, and I want to see tile floors put in, clean roosting poles, and wire over the windows.
But look, I...
Shut up!
Yeah. Tile floors. Wait till I write that Phil
look,
Baker.
Pop, here's the chicken.
Shut up! What did I get myself into?
Milton Pearl.
Shut up. Oh, who are you?
Health department. We got a report on a chicken here.
A chicken? Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't be silly. It's just a little chicken.
Let me inspect that chicken.
What is it?
This house is quarantined.
Quarantined?
The chicken has the pip.
The pip?
The pip?
The pip!
Yes, the pip. Mr. Burl, let me see your tongue.
My tongue?
Yeah, he caught the pip from someone.
What is... I never had the pip in my life. Oh, look at the poor chicken.
She's a goner.
Oh, I won't let her die. She's mine.
Milton, what is it?
Darling, a chicken has the pip.
The pip?
The pip. Yes, just look at her. No, she's dead. Our chicken is dead. No.
Poor chicken. Oh, this is awful.
Look, dear. Look, Junior is crying. Junior, you love the chicken, too.
Oh, loved it.
Then why are you crying?
Because I know what part I'll get tonight for dinner.
Oh, I see. Before Mr. Gallup can say...
Philip Morris is the only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure. Yes, it's true.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Made in America, by Americans, to suit American taste. Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
This is Milton Berle. We're a little early. Good night.
This is Johnny again, reminding you for perfect smoking pleasure.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week throughout the World Wide Web. Look for us on iTunes or Podbean. Next, we have another Milton Berle show. He lived to be 93 years old, and well into his 80s, I saw him do a few minutes at the Comedy Store open mic nights. His great timing was a lesson to the aspiring comics, I'm sure. Each week, his radio show chose a theme and did various sketches in which Milton Berle appeared as different characters. This show is on the American automobile. Times have changed a bit since then. They were experiencing a shortage of everything with the pent-up demand after the deprivation of World War II. I think you'll enjoy this episode of the Milton Berle Show, first broadcast September 23rd, 1947, on NBC.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny on the spot for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all...
Call for Philip Morris!
On Radio City, New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kurt Kelton, Jack Albertson, Arnold Stang, Mary Schiff, Jack Hartley, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we salute the great automobile industry, proud makers of Buick, Plymouth, Studebaker. In keeping with this spirit, our star, Milton Berle, will now spend the next half hour making a gnash of himself. And here he is, Milton Berle.
You're in fine diction tonight, Mr. Gallup.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Automobiles, Mr. Gallup. You remember when we used to sing, "Come along with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile." Today they sing, "Stay at home with me, dear Evie. I'm on the waiting list for a Chevy." I could have said, "I look sharp as any razor in my brand new Kaiser Fraser." I could have said that, but I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, come now, Bill. People are getting new cars.
Yes, they are getting new... You're right, Mr. Gallup. My brother Frank. You know Frank?
Yes, indeed.
Grand boy. $3,000 every week. My brother Frank, he just got a new car. A new 1947 reconvertible coupe.
Reconvertible coupe? You mean convertible?
No, I mean... I mean revertible. This is going to louse up the joke now, what I just said. No, I mean revertible, because at the end of the month, it reverts back to the finance company. You get it, Mr. Gallup? You see, you said revertible, and I said reconvertible, and it reverts back to the...
Berle, Berle, if you ever again make me a party to a joke like that, I'll roll up this script and flog you with it.
Mr. Gallup,
I... You'll give me another straight line like that, and I'll pull out your tongue and braid it around your nose.
Mr. Gallup, you should know by now that in order for me to tell a joke, I need a stooge.
A stooge?
Yes.
I, Frank Gallup, a stooge.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
I, who was the music commentator for the great Toscanini.
Well, Mr. Gallup.
I, who was once asked by Yasha Heifetz to hold his rosin.
But please, Mr. Gallup.
I, the wearer of the Andre Castellanos belt for faithful service to music.
But Mr. Gallup,
I, a stooge for Milton Berle.
Mr. Gallup, I...
Quiet, peasant.
Yes, Mr. Gallup, sir.
Mind you, Berle, I don't mind an occasional exchange of quips, as I'm rather good at that sort of thing.
I know you are, Mr. Gallup.
However, in the future, when we engage in a bit of horseplay, allow me to choose which part of the horse I'm going to play.
But, Mr. Gallup, you don't understand. I'm supposed to be the star.
Allegedly, yes. So let us settle it once and for all. Henceforth, all serious matters will be handled by me.
All right.
And let's leave the comedy to Bob Hope.
Mr. Gallup! Mr. Gallup, you've hurt me. Hurt me. Deeply. Painfully and mortally.
Tumble, let's not slobber.
Oh, sure, that's the popular sport now, to make insulting jokes about Milton Berle. Go ahead. But let me tell you one thing. I remember every one of those insulting jokes. I use them all later.
Berle, if you've quite finished with this revolting display of self-pity, let us get on with our subject, the automobile industry.
But, Mr. Gallup, why such a depressing subject? Customers fighting with auto dealers, long waiting lists, high prices.
True, Berle. That's why tonight we're taking our listeners back to happier days. Oh, yes, it was just a few years ago when all you had to do was walk into any automobile dealer's showroom, and this is what would happen.
Well, Mr. Berle, so you've come in to buy one of our new cars.
Maybe.
Oh, Mr. Berle, just look at this model. 16 cylinders, mother of pearl spark plugs. Seat covers by Hattie Carnegie. 14 carat piston rings. Chippendale rear view mirror and a tail from an unborn mink for the radiator cap. Oh, Mr. Berle, this car is just for you. Take it, please.
Maybe.
Oh, but Mr. Berle, look at that car. Mm. Get behind the wheel. Mm. Drive it around for a couple of years. If you like it, send us a little something each month. If you don't like it, just dump it somewhere on the street. We'll pick it up later. Oh, please, Mr. Berle, say yes.
Well, I don't know about that radiator cap, that bronze bust of the president of General Motors signing with the United Auto Workers.
You don't like it?
No, I don't.
There. We'll replace it with the head of one of our vice presidents.
In gold?
No, the real head. Oh, Mr. Berle, have a heart. Buy it.
Well, when can I have delivery?
In 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yes.
What's the matter, another strike? tell me, what's the price?
Well, the list price is $500.
The list price? Let me get out of this clip joint.
Oh. Well, wait, Mr. Berle, wait. Naturally, we'll give you a liberal allowance on your old car.
Oh, you will, eh?
Yes.
Let me see. That's my car in the front, that 1922 Essex.
Well, I'll give you $300 on it.
$300?
Yes.
That's the big Grover Cleveland model.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see. It is in good condition. It has a tire. I'll give you $600.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Berle, you'll never regret it. Now, let's see. $500 for the new car, $600 allowance for your old car. Here you are. A check for $100, and here are the keys to your new car. Oh, thank you, Mr. Berle. Come in again, please.
There I go again. No sales resistance.
Yes, those were wonderful days. Well, now let us observe Milton Berle going in to see the same dealer about a new car today.
Excuse me, my name is Berle.
Yeah. You see that table there, don't you? I want to see $300 under it before I even look at you.
Yes, sir. There it is. Now, I've been on the list since...
Shut up!
Yeah.
The price is $10,000.
$10,000?
Shut up!
Yeah.
That's the list price. There's got to be a little extra in it for me.
Wait a minute. I gave you $300 under the table.
That was for the table. It's yours. Take it home.
But I...
Shut up!
When can I have delivery?
How old are you?
35.
You'll never make it.
But I...
Look, forget about it. I got a beautiful used car for you. Just $1,000 and it's yours.
Well, it's a deal. Here's the money. Where's the car?
There it is. A 1922 Essex. see. My old big Grover Cleveland model. It's just what I've wanted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get up!
Ah, yes. Yes, Mr. Gallup, those were the wonderful days when you took new cars for granted. When in your shiny new car with that one and only girl, you snuggled up to her and you sang,
give me the road, the white winding highway. Just let me see the unbeaten byway, and I'll travel along, singing a vagabond song.
Ah, Cynthia. Cynthia. Golden memories of Cynthia. I'll tell you when to laugh, lady, please. In my heart, there is always still that picture of you, Cynthia, speeding down the highway. The top of the car would be down, the flap of the car would be open, and the owner of the car would be chasing you. On the open road, hitchhiking with Cynthia. Remember that day, Cynthia, when no one would stop for us? You lifted your skirt and you held your leg out on the highway. That stopped the cars for miles. They thought it was a fallen tree. Poor, nearsighted Cynthia. Remember how you'd stick your head out of the car window to read the Burma Shave sign? Then one day you stuck your head out too far. Boing, boing, boing! Getting smacked by those signs gave you a smart, stylish look. A sort of off-the-face face. But it was Cynthia's driving that made me love her. What a road hog you were, Cynthia. Used to keep an apple in your mouth. Used to keep an apple in your mouth. Throw that gag in a writer's mouth. But it was the little thing. I don't think it'll fit. They got too many old ones in there now. But... Ah, but it was the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. Your tinkling little laugh whenever they'd catch you filing the engine numbers off of hot cars. Those tired little lines that would appear around your mouth after a hard night of siphoning gas out of parked cars. Yes, Cynthia, all of your life you were crazy about cars. I guess that's why you turned out to be such an old crank. But as for me...
I'll travel along, singing a vagabond song.
Thank you. No, no, please. No, I have none of that. No applause, please. No applause. Now, you see what'll happen? You'll call NBC's attention to the fact that I'm on their network, you see? And it makes them see red. Network. I made it up. Joke. Oh, I'm cooked if they ever find out. I'm cooked.
Burl.
You know, I'm cooked if... Oh, that's your line. I'm sorry.
Well,
I
say, tonight, let us take our listeners behind the scenes of the great automobile industry.
No.
Well,
maybe I'll think about it, yes.
Well...
What have you got to say next?
If we do...
Yes?
If we do...
I say we don't want to. And what have you got to read next?
This morning...
I'm in that mood tonight, Mr. Gallup.
This morning, so...
There will be no fun in the studio. This is between you and me.
Thank you.
Did you hear that applause just then? That was Ray Block trying to keep himself awake, I think. You say that you want to take the listeners behind the scenes of the great automobile industry?
No.
Well, I've got an idea, Mr. Gallup. I've got an idea. You know who? You know, being that we're, our whole subject, our automobiles, you know who I'm going to be tonight?
Who?
Walter P. Burl.
Oh. He's that great automotive...
Yes, he's the automotive industry man, the head of that great auto corporation.
And what are you doing?
I'm addressing my board of governors. Oh. Gentlemen, I am proud to announce that the new 1947 Burl 8 is on the market.
Hurrah, hurrah.
That's the spirit. Gentlemen, we have to do something about our salesmanship now. Every one of us has got to get out there and push the new Burl 8. That's the only way it'll go. And don't worry, gentlemen, we have a new gadget that will revolutionize the auto industry.
What's the new gadget, boss?
What's the new gadget, boy?
Go find out for yourself. I'm busy. I have to put Johnny on the spot. Tell me, Johnny, why is Philip Morris so much better to smoke?
Here's your answer, sir. It's because the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get.
Right, Johnny. Philip Morris is the one leading cigarette with an exclusive difference in manufacture. The only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure.
Doesn't every smoker know that?
No. Oh. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. For perfect smoking pleasure, try a pack of Philip Morris today.
That was my heart as a hobo. Arrangements by Flash Gordon. That was Ray Block with Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, your music and your orchestra as well. Your playing can be summed up in two words. More rehearsals. And now, as we continue our salute to the great automotive industry, we now present...
Automobile Forum tonight. Automobile Forum tonight. The question... Do you close the new Studebaker with a door or a cork?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. And now, you're back on Prudential. And now, let us proceed with the questions about automobiles. Let's start with this gentleman opening the bottle of beer with his teeth. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burl, I'm tired of the same old wreck, year in and year out.
The same old wreck?
On the street, people always point and say, look at that old heap.
Then why don't you get rid of the old heap?
I'd like to, but she won't give me a divorce.
Thank you. Let's move on. All right, this young man wearing the chintz knickers. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Lady Esther.
Lady Esther?
Yeah, but I'm not the real Lady Esther.
Oh, you're not?
No, the real one got a deeper voice.
Oh, that's true.
My father gave me the name Lady Esther because he said I belong in a jar.
I see.
Before I changed my name to Lady Esther, I had a boy's name.
A boy's name? What was it?
Lady Mendel.
All right, Lady Esther, you have something to say about the new automobiles?
Yeah, but I don't feel like talking right now.
Well, if you talk...
I'm a funny guy. If I don't feel like talking, I don't talk.
Yeah, but where...
Nobody can make me talk either. Did you hear about it?
I know that, but...
Stop nagging me. I'm telling you, my lips are sealed.
All right.
I'm a citizen. You can't make me talk if you burn my feet with candles.
Look, we're trying...
I'm a citizen. You can't make me talk even if you miss the district attorney.
Yeah, but we're trying...
I'm a citizen. You can't make me talk if you beat me. Torture me. Throw me in solitary.
Please,
you... Go on, hit me. You're screaming for my blood, but I ain't talking.
Let us not create a disturbance. Young man, if you have a question, let's hear it.
Okay. Would you like to tweeze my eyebrows?
Oh, please. Let's get on to the ladies. All right, this lady in the aisle shaking paprika on the frog's legs. Young lady, what is your name, please?
Tallulah Rossini. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question?
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from tinkering with cars?
Your husband likes to tinker?
He's the biggest tinker in the neighborhood.
Really?
He likes to take cars apart. Once he took a car apart in 30 seconds.
30 seconds? He must have had help.
Yeah, from a telephone pole.
I see what you mean.
What a picture he makes every Saturday, rolling down the highway.
What's wrong with that?
I gotta sober him up and help him back in the car.
I understand.
Him and his fancy driving. You should see how he can stop on a dime. For doing that, they threw him in jail.
They threw him in jail for stopping on a dime?
Yeah, the dime was in a pedestrian's pocket.
Oh, gee, that's terrible.
You should see them gadgets for the car. He even got a raccoon tail. It's amazing.
What's amazing about having a raccoon tail?
Growing out of them?
Oh!
Oh, that's different.
Whenever I'm with him, he drives with one hand. It's insulting.
That's romantic. What's insulting about your husband driving with one hand?
What's insulting? The other hand he keeps on his wallet.
That did it. Thank you. As the most appropriate closing to our automobile forum, let us all join together and sing.
There are cars that look so snappy. There are cars that never go.
There's a car to suit the speedy driver. There's one for the Sunday driving schmo.
There are cars of every make and color. Jalopies and reconverted cans.
But the cars that fill our hands with money are the ones we sell to the smiling Irishman. Schmans, 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 schmans.
I love those automobile songs.
Don't you like those automobile songs? Mr. Gallup, I know everything about automobiles. I really do.
Well, I'm sure that you've had some experience that you'd like to tell us about.
Yes, I would love to tell you about. Mr. Gallup, one summer I decided to take the family on a motoring trip up to Canada. So the night before, we were all packing, and I'll never forget. Darling, will you hurry up and finish packing? We got to get to bed early. We're getting up at 6.
Relax, Milton.
Yeah, take it easy, Pop. You'll last longer.
Well, darling, this is awful. I was through packing 2 hours ago.
I'm packing. A toothbrush and a racing form.
Quiet. It's just a camping trip up north.
Yeah, but a racing form. What are you going to bet on, moose?
Quiet. Junior, we're going up to the Canadian woods. Wait a minute. What's the idea of packing your new sailor suit?
Well, I might run into one of the own sisters. They're just my age, you know.
Did you hear, Junior, darling? He has romance at his age. He got that from me.
I wish he'd give it back to you. You could use it.
It's very funny. Come on, darling. Let's go to bed. I'll turn out the lights, dear.
All right, Milton. Good night, Junior.
Oh, no. That knock. That must be Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha. If that corny windbag gets his foot in the door...
Now, Milton, they're neighbors. Be nice.
I'll brush them off. Come in. Well, howdy-doody-doo-da-doo. Hello, Sam. Hello, Martha.
Well, saw your jalopy outside, all packed for a trip. So I said, there goes the burros off on a nice long trip, and we haven't even said goodbye. Let's drop over. Isn't that what I said, Martha?
Yes.
Well, it's awfully nice of you, Sam. Yep, we're leaving for Canada in the morning.
Canada?
Yeah.
Well, the minute I saw those sleeping bags on the front bumper, I said, they're going to Canada. Didn't I, Martha?
Yes.
Look, folks, we're getting up at 6 in the morning, Sam, so we're all about to get ready.
Oh, there's nothing like an early start. Reminds me of the time Martha and I drove up to Albany for his sister's wedding.
Sam, it's late, please.
Ah, it's a very swell story, Milt. Little long, perhaps.
Yes.
Some other time, Sam. Thanks very much for dropping in.
Tell us, Sam, what happened on your trip to Albany?
Junior, how many times have I told you to keep quiet when adults are talking?
Well, Milt, we all went to bed early. And you know, we were in the sack 10 minutes when the telephone rings. It was the gas company. No, wait. Say, Mother.
Yes?
Was it the gas company?
Yes.
All right. It was the gas company. Now, look, Sam.
Well, sir, 10 minutes later... Phone call.
Yes, Sam, please.
So here I am, parked outside a filling station, waiting for Martha to come out. Milton, you're not listening.
Milton, wake up.
Who deals?
Sam,
look at the clock. It's 2 a.m.
Well, so long, Milton. Nice seeing you. Wasn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Goodbye, Sam. Goodbye, Martha. Oh, brother. Quick, darling. Let's get to bed. No, no, please. Sam!
Canada, Canada! You know, it just dawned on me, you're going to Canada! Martha and I took a trip to Canada 10 years ago. Didn't we, Martha?
Yes.
Please, it's just a camping trip.
A camping trip, did
yes,
you say?
Yes.
Well, look what happened to us. Martha was almost attacked by a bear. Weren't you, dear?
Yes.
What did she do? Talk her way out of it? Sam, please.
And that's not all.
Oh, no.
Martha accidentally put some poison ivy in a mixed green salad. Why, you should have seen my mouth. For 3 whole days, I couldn't talk. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, please.
Milton, look, why don't you go to Atlantic City?
Sam.
Oh, Atlantic City. That's where little Martha and I spent our honeymoon. Isn't it, dear?
Yes.
Sam, please. Oh, that Atlantic City. That saltwater cabbie for breakfast.
Sam.
Look, we'd better run along.
Sam.
Let me go, Martha.
Yes.
Sam.
Well, see you in Atlantic City. Atlantic City? At this time of the year?
Go home.
Why, the place for you is Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Go home.
Oh, every day, swimming in that sulfur.
Go home.
Makes you too bad.
Go to Canada.
Lazy afternoons in the steam room.
Go to Hot Springs.
Of course, if you don't like southern cooking, there's always Niagara Falls.
Go to...
Hey, Pop, watch that driving. Wake up!
All right, go ahead.
That morning air. Are you sure this is the way to Niagara Falls, Sam?
Well, this is the way we always go. Hey, Martha?
Yes.
Well, it is nice now, too.
Sam.
That rolling surf.
Go home. Thank you. I'll be back in just a moment, ready or not. And in the meantime, here is Mr. Gallup with two words.
Philip Morris is the only leading cigarette scientifically proved far less irritating to the nose and throat. Remember, less irritation means more enjoyment. That's why the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure. Yes, it's true.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, made in America, by Americans, to please American tastes. Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Daylight saving time ends in certain areas on September 28th. This may change the time at which the Milton Berle Show is heard in your community. Please check your local newspaper for the time at which this program will be heard next Tuesday and each Tuesday thereafter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gallup. And while you're mentioning things, would you mention that starting tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm appearing in person at the Roxy Theater here in New York?
No.
But you won't even mention that I'm funnier than ever and that I have some new jokes?
No.
Fine cooperation. As far as you're concerned, I could drop dead.
Yes.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Murray!
smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same station, when Philip Morris will again present the Milton Berle Show. Until then...
Hello, hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show was written by Matt Hyken and Alan Rubin. This is Frank Ellis saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you so much for joining us for a few laughs on the Old Time Radio Hour. I hope you will tune in again next week when we bring you another great comedian from the mid-20th century, Henry Morgan. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.